Well, I'll tell you what. Those of you who are visiting us today, you might be wondering, what have I stumbled into here? Just hang out with us. I think you'll grow to like us. Amen. Hallelujah. And for those of you visiting us again, it's good to have you back. Speaking of being back, had a good trip this week to Woodland Park, Colorado, and went to the pastor's conference out there. You know, I haven't been to a conference like that since I began pastoring. And I'll tell you, I realized how much I need to be doing that. Praise the Lord. It's great. It's awesome. But you know, one of the things that I took away from the time out there was I was hearing all these pastors talk about how hard it was and talking about their congregation and all the different difficulties they went through. And I just started realizing, man, well, I don't have all those problems here. Praise God. Amen. God's good to us. So I just want to tell you guys are awesome. Thank you for being who you are and being a great group of Christians that just gather together, a good family, amen. We are blessed at High Point Church. Are we perfect? No. We're growing together. You know, like this morning, we're learning how to flow in the Holy Spirit in this church, amen. You know, there's some of us are a little more in tune to it than others, and that's okay, though, because we're growing together, and that's why we're teaching on these gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that we can grow in one accord, and so we can see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives, in our corporate gatherings, and when we go out into the marketplace. Amen. That's what we desire. You desire that with me?
Yes,
we're not teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit so you can go win an argument with somebody. You might have some friends out there that you're trying to convince of certain things. Listen, I'm going to tell you how to convince them. You can have people that sit there and argue with you up and down, and they'll have every argument lined up. But if you just put your hands on them and heal them of something, praise God, they become a believer instantly in these things. They might not like you right now, but when they go through something, who they going to call? Not Ghostbusters. They going to call you because of what you believe. Amen. Amen. So this is what we need. We need the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Praise God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that you are here in our midst. You're working in us. You're working your gifts in us. You're working your fruit in us. You are working in High Point Church and in our lives individually. So we thank you for that, Holy Spirit, that as we've been focusing on you since the beginning of this calendar year, I thank you, Lord, that we are growing in our knowledge of you, but not just our knowledge, but in our experience of you. That's what we desire, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for what you are teaching us. And this morning, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will use my mouth today so that, Father, we can hear from you. As we will be talking about this morning with the vocal gifts, I thank you that it will be prophetic this morning, that prophecy will flow forth in this place. And we thank you and we receive it from you in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. That means so be it. That means we're putting our stamp of approval on it. I call amen the exclamation point of heaven. Amen. Nobody got that. Amen is the exclamation point of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, you've learned that, hadn't you? Some of you that are real apt at texting and stuff like that, you learn that how you put exclamation points and you put those little emojis, little smiley faces, really play a part in how people read it. Amen. You put an exclamation point, it sounds like you're yelling sometimes. I'm serious. Amen. Well, that's what we're doing here, is we're serious about this. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. One of the evening sessions we had there, I'll tell you what, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, you know who we have here? They were leading worship. And I'll tell you what, the people that come to our church that were involved in this meeting are the ones that knocked it out of the ballpark. Amen. Audrey Mack, boy, she preached up a storm. It was awesome. And then Charlie and Jill led us in worship. It got so good one night, people started dancing on the stage. Hallelujah. And your pastor, I said your pastor, took off running around the church a couple of times. Hallelujah. But there was one problem with that. I couldn't breathe after I was done with that thin air. Oh! But it was the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it was fun. Glory be to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's start in verse 1. The Apostle Paul, writing to this church, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Say, to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. How many of you know we need to get a hold of this? This is something that we need to begin to experience in our life, amen? And we see here that there are 9 gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned. This doesn't mean that we're limited to these. There's other ways that the Holy Ghost does manifest in our midst, but these are the ones the Holy Spirit put His finger on and said, these are the gifts that I have given you. And that's what we learned in part 1 of this series. We learned, I already got charisma. Because the word gift means charisma. It's where we get our English word charisma from. So one of the basic foundations to us experiencing, and that's what we're interested in here, experiencing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is understanding I've already got the gifts of the Holy Ghost. How many of you got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you? Then you've got the giver of all 9 gifts living on the inside of you. Therefore, you've got all 9 gifts on the inside of you. Amen? So I'm not trying to get something from heaven out there. I'm trying to release the Holy Ghost from the inside of me and allowing the manifestation of these gifts to happen in my life. Now, while it is true that depending on your position in the body, your place in the body, what your calling is, you will operate predominantly in certain gifts more than others. But that doesn't mean you just got to just throw your hands up in the air and say, well, okay, sirrah, sirrah, I guess this is the only gift I have. We're going to learn today, you can desire more. You can seek after more. And you can experience more in your life. So one of the foundational things is understanding the gifts are already in here. I've already got it. I've already got all the gifts. They live on the inside of me. And then we learn from that, if we've already got them, how do we start operating more in them? Because just because we have something spiritually speaking doesn't mean we're experiencing it in our lives. And one of the ways that I have learned to do that is we got to just obey the Great Commission to go therefore. Say, go therefore. Go therefore. That means that I am just moving in them and operating in them because I'm not sitting here waiting on God to take me over like a seizure and make me do any of these things. I've got to step out. I've got to start putting myself in position to be used, put myself in front of people, start speaking into people's lives, start laying my hands on people. And your pastor has learned that the predominant way he has learned to start operating more in these things is you just start opening your mouth, amen? You know, God spoke through the donkey a couple of times in the Bible, amen? Did he not? Amen? Balaam's donkey? Praise God. So listen, if the Lord's going to speak through us, it don't matter. You know, the donkey was not spiritual. That donkey was about as carnal as could be. I guarantee you it had fleas. It stunk. It was scratching itself. There was nothing spiritual about the donkey. Yet God flowed through it, showing us it doesn't matter how spiritual we are. And our case in point in that is the Church of Corinth. They weren't spiritual. They were messing up in a lot of ways. Yet they had so many gifts of the Holy Ghost working in their midst. God had to tell them to do it decently and in order. How many of you have been a part of a church before where you needed to start containing everything because there was so much of it happening? It's kind of rare. You don't find that too many places. So we need to learn. We got to just step out, start practicing these things, amen, and start opening our mouth wide and He will fill it. But what we learned last week is the third vital key for us operating in the gifts of the Holy Ghost is just desiring to. Amen? We looked at the phrase, quench not the Holy Spirit. And we found out quenching the Holy Spirit is not done because we sin, because we're unholy, because we're unrighteous. No, we quench the Holy Spirit when we dampen the flame. when we extinguish the flame of the Holy Ghost. And we found out from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that when he said, quench not the Holy Spirit, he goes right after that and says, despise not prophecies. And what I taught you from that is this, is the way we quench the Holy Spirit is by lightly esteeming and dishonoring his gifts. See, the more I desire it, the more I hunger for these things, the more I'm going to see them in my life, amen? Because the Lord says, you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Now, if it works that way with righteousness and it works that way with seeking the Lord, you reckon it works that way with the gifts of the Holy Spirit too? Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul told us in these chapters we're looking at, desire that you may prophesy. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Why would he tell us that if that didn't have something to do with experiencing them more? Amen? So we've got to turn up the wattage on the inside of us of, Lord, I want this more in my life. And start spending some time seeking after these things in my life and not disqualifying myself through condemnation that I can't be used in this. Every person in here that's a born-again, Spirit-filled believer can operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So how much are you going to press into it? Do you want it more? Amen. That's why we're opening this church up to various prayer times so that you can seek after these things. Spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. So, we've got 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I believe can conveniently be broken down into 3 categories of 3. We have the 3 vocal gifts. Say vocal gifts. Vocal gifts. This is tongues, the diversities of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecies. Then we have the revelation gifts, which is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And then we've got the power gifts, which is what? Special faith is what the Amplified Bible calls it. Also working of miracles and gifts of healings. Today we're going to begin talking about the vocal gifts. And the reason I want to start out talking about the vocal gifts is because when you study these chapters in 1 Corinthians, you find out that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to give instructions concerning the vocal gifts. Now, there's some reasons for that. One of them is obviously because this church was operating in these things so much that they needed to be corrected and hemmed in and operating these things in the right way. I believe that there might be a possibility that the vocal gifts are given instructions concerning because they are the 3 particular gifts that we can operate in at will. Yeah, I got 2 amens there. 2 that's right. But you know how I can prove it to you? Because they're the only gifts out of the 9 that our mouth is involved with. In other words, you know the Holy Ghost isn't just going to come and make you preach the gospel. Right? He's just not going to come on you when you get in front of somebody and here's the gospel. No, you're going to have to open your mouth wide. You're going to have to be bold. You're going to have to speak it out. Why would we think tongues and prophecy would be any different? And this is one of the reasons I believe that so many people have a hard time speaking in tongues. It's the same reason they have a hard time prophesying. You know why? Because we think God's going to take us over and make us do it. You've got to yield to the Holy Spirit. My father in the faith, Andrew Womack, likes to say it this way. I mean, it's really not applicable today because our shoes are different. But he said, I believe when the Holy Ghost comes, amen, just like it is with shoes, they all come with tongues, amen. You all got the opportunity to speak with tongues, amen. Praise God. And this is my point today, you can all prophesy. See, we emphasize the tongues part. That's what most of the Pentecostal churches talk about is tongues, 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 tongues. And tongues are important and they edify you. But listen, if the Bible tells us to desire to prophesy, then that's written to the church. So that means that every single one of us should be prophesying. No amens there. Really? Do you not believe this? Well, that's a problem. Desire. Desire. Because God wants you to prophesy. And when I'm done with you today, you're going to find out prophecy is not what we've been traditionally had modeled before us only of an individual standing in front of another individual and saying, thus saith the Lord over him. There are many ways that we can prophesy. Praise God. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is the chapter where the Apostle Paul begins to give these instructions concerning prophecy and tongues and so forth. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I'm reminded of James 4:8. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He did not say there, God will draw near to you and you're not going to be able to help draw near to him in return. No, what is it? Who's the initiator there? We draw near to God and he will draw near to us. Who's doing the drawing first? Us. So it's up to me to pursue and press into these things. And as I do that, God meets me where I'm at. Amen. And you can bet the bank it's that way with the gifts of the Holy Spirit too. Amen. See, this is why, you know, people say all the time, and I don't like this phrase, you know, we'll leave a service and people will say, well, God really moved today. I can't stand that. And I'll tell you why, because you know what that implies? He didn't want to move last week. Right? Isn't that the truth? God really moved today. Like he decided to do it. No, I believe every revival, if you study church history and you look at all the major revivals that happened, they were all prefaced with what? People intensely seeking the Lord through prayer. Every single one of them. So those people deliberately pressed into the move of God. Amen? I'm here to tell you, my Father is always moving. God's always moving. That's why it's so awesome. I mean, I could just, I can turn on prophecy. Because why? He's always wanting to speak into your life. Amen? And I can just turn it on. Amen? And just step in front of you and say, thank you, Lord. You want to speak into this person's life. You know, God likes to talk. And you need to know that in your own personal prayer life. So you'll shut up some and listen to him. Most of us, when we get before the Lord in prayer, we're talking the whole time. We're never listening. We need to do some time listening too. Amen? Let God talk to you and let God talk through you. He wants to do it. Amen. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Boy, I'm already having a good time this morning. Glory to God. Notice chapter 14, verse 1. And all you expositors in here of the Word of God, you'll like this. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Did you know 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 is a summarization of the previous two chapters? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we just read several of these verses, is a great description on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how we need to covet earnestly these best gifts as different parts of the body. And then he stops in chapter 13 and begins to teach on what? Love. So what are we seeing here? Pursue love. In other words, pursue what I just taught you in chapter 13. And desire spiritual gifts. Pay attention to what I taught you in chapter 12. Here's a summarization. But especially that you may prophesy. Why does he say especially desire prophecy among other gifts? It is because prophecy, as he's going to go on to describe here, is the vocal gift that expresses love to people. Amen. It is the vocal gift that is a manifestation of God's love for them. One of the things he goes into teaching on here in this chapter is this church was gathering together and they were spending hours together doing what? And they were praying in tongues. Everybody was praying in tongues. And then they had people coming and visiting and said, these are some crazy folks because all they're doing is speaking in tongues here. So Paul had to correct us and say, hey, it's good to pray in other tongues. It's good to build yourself up, but that's all tongues does, is it builds you up. I desire that you may prophesy so that you can build others up. Amen? Amen? Because when we're together, we need to be building others up. Now, people will turn around and run with these scriptures and say, see, prophecy is the better gift and tongues is really a lesser gift. No. Tongues is good for your own personal edification. And when you're by yourself with the Lord, you need to be praying in tongues. But prophecy is good for these gatherings so that you and I, all of us, can go and speak into other people's lives the supernatural utterance of God. Amen. I've got a great definition. This is Pastor Trey's definition of prophecy. It's a supernatural utterance in a known language. That's pretty simple, isn't it? A supernatural utterance in a known language. So guess what the definition of tongues is? It's a supernatural utterance in an unknown language. You know, we try to separate these a lot of times, prophecy with tongues, but Paul teaches us that tongues with interpretation is the equivalent of prophecy. So the tongues we received this morning with the interpretation we received was like prophecy. Amen? Why? Because it's going to build everybody else up in here. Amen? But what we need to understand is prophecy is what we all need to be operating in. So we're going to go into a lot of detail this morning before we take communion on how we can prophesy, what are some different ways in which we can experience this in our life. And again, we're not looking at this from the standpoint of some prophet coming in here. I know we just had Marcus Witt, Prophet Marcus Witt, come in here. And most people, because of their immaturity, is really a lack of a better way of looking at it, is they always wait for the prophet to come in to give them a word. But I'm here to tell you, every one of us can prophesy and build each other up. Amen. That's what we're trying to unlock in here, amen? And my heart's desire is that when we have somebody that comes in with a prophetic gift, we're already prophesying so much in here that we're going to have a rip-roaring time when they're around. Amen. Amen? And that's what we need to be experiencing in our lives, amen? So let's look here. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's look at some stuff. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Look at verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So now we're seeing what this supernatural utterance called prophecy does. It speaks what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen. Now, what needs to be said here is just because one can prophesy does not make them a prophet. There's a difference between having the doma, the Greek word for gift, the doma gift of a prophet or a pastor or a teacher or whatever, and somebody being able to do it. What I'm talking to you about today is not necessarily having the doma gift of that. I'm talking about how you can operate in the spiritual gift. Just like somebody might have be in the office of a teacher in the body of Christ, but there's supposed to be other people who are able to teach, but that doesn't make them a spiritual gift of a teacher. You following me? So that's what we're talking about with prophecy here. Prophecy, from a prophet's perspective, a lot of times will foretell the future, and prophesies big things, more corrective a lot of times. This is edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. I'm going to go into that. Thank you, Ned. Don't get too far ahead of me, brother. Hallelujah. So, the first thing he says here, he speaks edification. Edification literally means to build up. It means to build up. We're going to get more into detail on this next week when we begin talking about tongues, about how tongues builds you up, right? But prophecy builds others up. And I'm going to go into a lot of detail about one of the ways that tongues builds us up individually is it builds us up on our most holy faith, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. So it builds you up on your most holy faith. That doesn't mean it builds you up in your belief of God. What it means is it builds you up upon the foundation of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it'll build you up on the truth, the mystery of the gospel of who we are in Christ. Amen? In other words, it'll help you to understand the New Testament better. And I'll tell you, I can attest to that. The more I pray in tongues, the more revelation I get out of this book right here. It just opens up. Amen? But prophecy also edifies you. That's why the Bible is called itself the more sure word of prophecy. You know, this will be a revelation to many of you, but do you know that God did not just rain down this book from heaven? Do you know how this book was written? Through prophecy. In other words, people wrote, people spoke as they were inspired by God in their own language, in Hebrew and Koine Greek, and they spoke it out, and then the things were recorded and canonized as Holy Scripture for us. So this whole book is prophecy. In fact, let's go over there and look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This book is a book of prophecy. Amen. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, this is the New King James. I like the way the King James reads in this. Don't tell any of my King James friends I said that. I'm trying to convert all of them to this new and better. Praise God. I told my father in the faith that one time. I said, Andrew, I'm praying for you to be converted from the old King James. He said, keep praying, brother, keep praying. Whatever speaks to you. It's all inspired by God. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Look at verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. So what's he saying right here? Is that the Word of God is the more sure word of prophecy, and it is called prophecy of Scripture. Now I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but did you know this is one of the ways that you can prophesy? Writing. Not just speaking, but in writing. I'll tell you, that's something that I've learned, is that when I moved out to Colorado to go to Bible school, I was teaching a lot of different Bible studies and stuff before I left. And you know, if you're a preacher, you need your fix. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you just got something to share. And it's a dangerous thing if you're a preacher and you ain't had nobody to share with in a while, and then somebody shows up at your house. They better have some time, because they're going to hear something. Amen? So I move out there, and I'm realizing that, man, I need an outlet. So guess what I started doing? I started writing a newsletter. And it turned into a 6-page newsletter that was being written every month. And I did that probably for about 10 or 11 years, was writing this thing. So got a lot of good stuff there. But you know what I learned through this? Is that as I began writing, I just felt the inspiration of God as I would write. I knew the Lord was speaking through me. Just like He would speak through me if I had an individual and I said, thus saith the Lord. It was the same thing. It was, and I'm not comparing myself to the Apostle Paul or anything, but it was something I felt like was similar to how Paul probably felt when he would write these scriptures. You see what I'm saying? So prophecy can come through writing as well. Amen. But the Word of God is a book of prophecy. It is inspired by God, the supernatural utterance of God in written form before us. Amen. Which teaches us some very important things, because let me get into this real quick. The Bible tells us that when we receive a prophetic word from somebody, we need to judge it. We need to test it. You understand that, right? Just because somebody comes and says, thus saith the Lord to you, doesn't mean you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. Right? There's ways to judge it. So let me teach you how to judge it real quick. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You remember we talked about last week about, you know, we read the scripture this morning about how the Bible tells us that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will call Jesus accursed, and no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is Lord. What he's saying right there is this, is that when somebody is claiming to be speaking by the Holy Spirit, they're going to be glorifying Jesus. Because why? The Holy Ghost glorifies Jesus all the time. So one of the number one ways that you test prophecies is, does it glorify Jesus? Or does it defame Him? Does it take away from Him? If it takes away from Jesus and it points you away from Him, throw it out. Every time. Now, of course, though, we get some words sometimes that have nothing to do with Jesus. You know, they're talking about something that you should be doing or something like that. So what do we do with those? Well, let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians, let's read from verse 20 through 21. He says, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. So this is clearly teaching us we need to be testing every word that comes. And how do we do that? Does it glorify Jesus? Number one. Number two, does it contradict this book? Does it violate any spiritual truth we see repeated in the scriptures? If it does, throw it out. But if it doesn't, if it goes right along line with the word, in fact, it might even be commenting the word, then what do? If it glorifies Jesus and it lines up with this word, then you've tested it by that and you hold fast to what? What is good. Does it seem good to you and to the Holy Ghost on the inside of you? I had somebody give me a word this week when I was at this conference, and they did the exact right thing. You know what they did? After they gave me this word, they looked at me and said, "Does that seem good to you, brother?" In other words, they were saying, "How do you feel about that? Is the Holy Spirit bearing witness with that on the inside of you?" You know, we can all miss it when we attempt to speak into people's lives. But how many can give people grace to miss it so that they can practice to start hitting it more? Raise your hand if you want to give people more grace to do that. Because we got to step out somewhere. And one of the safe ways to do it is that when you begin prophesying to people's life, don't give them a bunch of direction. Like, "Brother, you need to leave that wife of yours and go marry somebody else." That ain't the Holy Ghost. Because why? It contradicts Scripture, and I guarantee it don't seem good on the inside of him. Right? Don't do it, Elijah. That was not a prophetic word. That was an example. Right? And I know I've spoken into people's lives before, and I've missed it. But I know I've spoken into people's lives before, and I've hit it too. And here's the whole point. The more I practice this, come on now, this is good. The more I practice this, the more pure the water becomes. Aha. How many of you ever gone to a house that's been abandoned for a period of time and there hadn't been any running water in that house for a period of time, and you go right in there with your glass, you turn on the faucet, you let the water come in there while you're paying attention to something else, and then you down that water without looking at it first? No, you better judge and test that water. Because there hadn't been a lot of water flowing through there, which teaches us what? If somebody has not been operating in this gift as a standard in their life, there's probably a lot of them mixed in with the water. Just like there's a lot of the inside of those pipes that's mixed in with the water. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm not qualified to judge pipes, but I am qualified to judge water. Because I can't see what's on the inside of those pipes. Likewise, you can't see what's in somebody's heart when they're prophesying over you. So you don't judge the person. But what you can judge is the spiritual gift that comes out of them. That was good. Praise God. This is how you judge it. But if somebody is predominantly used in this gift and you see it working in their life a lot, hey, then you can trust it a little bit more. Doesn't mean you still just eat that right then. Still look at the water. Amen? And judge it. But understand that everybody can miss it, but the Word will never miss it. You know, because I've been around a lot of people. We have this thing, this epidemic in the body of Christ, and it's coming back around now because we're having so many prophetic giftings in the church. But you got out there what's called prophet chasers. You never heard that before? Well, prophet chasers are, it's like if we had somebody in here that was a huge name that operates in the prophetic, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have standing room only in this church. Why? Because everybody wants an individual prophetic word. Some of y'all got disappointed when Marcus didn't call you out and didn't give you a word. Listen, when you got a book that God is full of prophecy, that God desires for you to hear and to know and to receive. I was joking around with Pastor Robert about that, and I said, here's a great way to do it. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to start prophesying over everybody that come to any meetings. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, "Thus saith the Lord, brother, by His stripes you were healed. Thus saith the Lord, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What am I doing? I'm quoting Scripture. And I ain't missing it when I'm doing it. And you know what's the sad thing? Is most people, when you do that, because he put "thus saith the Lord" and he called me out individually, you'll believe it more than if you read it on this page. I'm preaching better than y'all are amening this morning. Believe the word. Amen? And I'm here to tell you something. The more you hide this in you, the more you're going to position yourself for God to speak through you. Amen? And this is one of the ways that I'll operate in it, because I don't all the time have something. My heart will go out for somebody, and I'll go up to them, and I'll just start giving them something that's from the Word, or just something that I just love them. And as I speak that out, more follows. And then the supernatural utterance of God starts flowing through me. But if I'm waiting, "Lord, I need a full sentence here." God, you know, and He'll sometimes tell you, it is up to And that's all I have. And so I just, oh God, I just got to speak it out by faith. It is up to blah, 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 and then the rest comes. Because God needs our cooperation. He needs us to line up together with Him and say, God, I want you to speak through this donkey today. Donkey! We're going back to the Shrek thing again, hallelujah. And Donkey could talk on that movie, couldn't he? Eddie Murphy, was that who it was? He could talk, man. Glory to God, if you just open your mouth wide, He will fill it, hallelujah. Every time I think of that scripture from the Psalms, open your mouth wide and I will fill it, I always think of the birds, little baby birds when they're in the nest and mama's feeding them. That beak opens way up. You're like, I want more from you, mama. Fill me up with more, mama. Amen? The more you open your beak, the more He'll speak through you. Glory be to God. All right, so that was all edification. Prophecy will edify us. What else does it say, though? He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation. What's exhortation? Exhortation is simply exhorting one, poking and prodding them, encouraging them to do something. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't involve correction, though. One of my favorite scriptures over in Luke chapter 3 is when John the Baptist had the Pharisees show up at one of his meetings. The Pharisees show up and he said, you brood of vipers, who warns you to come, to flee from the wrath to come? And then the next verse says, and with many other exhortations he encouraged the people. That was called an exhortation. In other words, he's calling them snakes, but he's telling them, don't be a snake no more. Amen. So when I'm prophesying, sometimes it might be involving me correcting and coming out and saying, you know, the Lord's really shown me this, is that you are pursuing some things and you're dabbling into some things. And the Lord wants you to know, it's time to stop. You're hurting yourself and you're hurting people around you. Your pastor had this happen to him just recently, is that the Lord spoke a scripture to my heart about something. And he spoke this to me, and then when I was at this conference, a pastor got up and said the same thing. Verse. And I knew it was the Lord reminding me of something that I needed to make some adjustments on. And don't be sitting there trying to figure out what it is right now. It's not a morality issue. All of us have things that are going on in our life that are maybe holding us back from another level that God wants us to go. And thank God for the Holy Ghost inspiring people and preachers. Amen. You know, this is another way you can prophesy. Y'all don't realize this a lot of times. Some of y'all have said this. Not because I've heard it, but I'm picking up on this now. I wish Pastor would prophesy more. You are missing it because you don't understand. I'm prophesying all the time. Just because I don't call somebody out and give them a specific word doesn't mean I'm not reading your mail. I've had people coming. I'm telling you, I've had people come to me and say, man, you were reading my mail today, Pastor. This and that. I was like, well, I didn't know. There's many times I'm walking around, and I know I'm standing right somewhere when I say something, and boy, it's for them. I know it sometimes. Sometimes I don't know it. And good thing I'm a gracious person because I ain't throwing you under the bus and telling everybody when I know something. But preaching the Word, there is supernatural utterance in a known language. Amen. So there's prophecy coming forth in that. So exhortation. Now, and then he says, and comfort. Comfort. Now, the words a lot of times will be comforting. And see, that's one of the things we got to make sure, we got to check ourselves at the door on this, is when we're starting to operate in prophecy, we need to check our heart to what spirit we're operating out of. Do you remember the time where these people had rejected Jesus, and there were the sons of thunder, the two disciples, that said, Master, should we call down fire from heaven? Just like Elijah did. You know, so what are they doing? They're wanting to do what the prophet did in the Old Testament. And he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. There's a different spirit now under this new and better covenant. We're under the dispensation of grace, and God's not desiring to pour fire down from heaven on people. Unless it's the Holy Ghost coming to burn up the junk in you. Amen? Now we are speaking comfort and gracious words. Let your speech always be with grace. And that is also talking about when we prophesy. Let it be with grace. So when you're speaking comfort to people, it should just come from a spirit that I really love you and I really want you to be comforted in something. Now, sometimes those comforting words might not be something you want to hear. It could be a prophecy that comes forth that says, famine's coming. But how many of you know that it's comforting to know from the Holy Ghost before something like that happens? Because now I can prepare myself, and I know it might be only going to be for a certain period of time. So sometimes those prophecies are comforting to us. So prophecy is enveloped in these three phases. Edification, it builds you up on your most holy faith, on the Word of God. It exhorts us, it encourages us. And listen, this is a word for somebody. You can prophesy to yourself. You know how many times I've done that, glory to God? Discouraged, downcast, downtrodden. And God speaks through the donkey to the donkey. And he comes out and says through me something I need to hear. Sometimes I just stir myself up and make myself start doing it. What did the Bible say over in 1 Samuel chapter 30? Do we got that scripture? Let's put that one up. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed. Can you identify with that? Have you ever been greatly distressed before? What do you do then? Well, you buy a plane ticket and you go to the meeting somewhere to where somebody can come and give you a word or encourage you or lay hands on you. No. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. But, say but. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How do you suppose he did that? I'm going to tell you how he did it. I guarantee you I know. He took all them psalms that the Holy Ghost inspired him to write, and he began singing them over himself. And he encouraged himself. Have you ever done that before? Oh, man, amen. I'll be like that, and I'll say, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, all that's within me. Bless his holy name. I'm going to stir myself up right now. I'm going to speak what God says over me. And if you're discouraged and you're downcast and you're downtrodden today, I'm going to tell you something. You are the one that pulls yourself out of that. I can't do it. Pastor Robert can't do it. Minton, Donna, nobody else in here can do it. How is it going to happen? By you choosing to believe that and encouraging yourself that. Prophesy to thyself. And build yourself up. Amen? It will. It will build you up. Amen. So then, let me quickly go into this because we're going to do communion here in a moment. Let me give you some unorthodox ways of prophecy. Because I want to eliminate the mindset that the way we prophesy is by one-on-one speaking into somebody's life like that. That is a valid way to do it, but that's not the only way prophecy happens. What have we seen so far? We can prophesy by writing. You know, a lot of poetry, poems, are prophecy. That's exactly how David, how Solomon, and these guys had the Lord speak through them this prophetic word. They thought they were writing songs. They thought they were writing this and that. I'll tell you what, it happens all the time. I get songs that are so good, I'm tempted to text Charlie LeBlanc and say, you need to put some music to this. From the Holy Ghost. We got on the airplane yesterday. I'm sitting on the airplane. Of course, I'm not just blaring out in front of everybody. But boy, I just started singing a song in my own language. And it was prophetic to where I'll pull my phone out and get the voice recorder on. And I got it. I'm telling you, that happens all the time. And listen, saints, we need that right here. We need, when we stand up and lead worship, to not just be locked in to our own way of doing it and what these words are. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit, even in the song service, to where the Holy Ghost is flowing through us and He gives us a new song. I'll tell you one thing that happened that was so beautiful this week, and it's so refreshing, is one of the best things about this meeting I went to this week was the worship. And one of the things that was so great about it is there was points where everybody, hundreds of people in the sanctuary were singing in the Spirit. Boy, there's not much more beautiful than when everybody is praying in tongues. It sounds like a multitude of angels, and it's happening, and it's encouraging. It builds people up. But you can do that in your own known language too. And you can all sing. Not everybody should record, but everybody can sing. Right? You ain't got to be the best person in the voice, but when it's the Holy Ghost through you, it's beautiful. People pick up on the Spirit. I've been to India many times, and people will start singing, and the music's not that great. The instruments aren't that great, but the Spirit behind it. Woo! It is beautiful. So all of you on the worship team, hear me right now. The most important thing you can do is not have all your T's crossed, all your I's dotted. That is important. But the most important thing is when the Holy Spirit is accompanying you. That's where the power is. That's good preaching, Pastor. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you can sing. You can write. Amen. What else can you do? I got one other one. I got it somewhere. Look at this. Oh, in your prayer time. Oh, I've prophesied when I've prayed. How is that? That I don't know, but I'm just praying, and then something comes up for somebody, and I start praying for them, and I feel the Holy Spirit's empowerment to pray for them. That's prophecy. Do you see that? Prophetically, the Lord is speaking through us. You'll go ahead and let the kids come up. Praise the Lord. So we've got all these different ways that we can prophesy. So what is the point, Pastor? The entire point that I'm telling you today is we need to do more writing. We need to do more singing. We need to do more speaking into individual people's lives. We need to do more praying and invite the Holy Spirit into those things and let Him start cleaning the pipes out. Hallelujah. Speaking through us and letting this prophecy come in and through us. And the more that happens, the more pure the water becomes. And God is speaking through us during those times. Have you heard what I said today? What are we going to do? We're going to start doing more of the writing. We're going to do more of the singing. We're going to do more of the prayer time. We are going to position ourselves for God to start speaking through us while desiring it more, while seeking it more, so that God is available and made more open to enter in and speak through us today. Knowing it, you ain't got to be holy enough for this to happen. Amen? He wants to speak through you, but you got to open your mouth wide and let Him fill it. Praise God. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Right now the children are coming in because we're going to celebrate communion. And one thing that I want to exhort you with today. Did you know that Paul's exhortation regarding communion, you know where it's at? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which interestingly enough, leads right into the gifts, love, and this exhortation on the vocal gifts. Do you think that's coincidental? I believe that's God-cidental. Because what He teaches us when it comes to communion is this, and this is what I had on my heart to exhort you with today. He had to correct them because when they got together to celebrate communion, they just made it a big gluttonous celebration, and they forgot about their brothers and sisters that were lacking out there, and people were pushing through the line to try to get all the food and everything like that. And He was telling them, you need to learn to discern the Lord's body. And when He says that, He's not just talking about discerning the element of Christ's body. Who's Christ's body in here? We all are. So we've got to learn to love and respect and come before the Lord as a body and not just as individual members. You following what I'm saying? So that's the mentality I want to exhort you with today, is that when we partake together, now, this time, I don't want us just to be believing God for what we need to receive, cleansing of our conscience and healing of our bodies. There's a time and a place for that, but I want you to see us corporately as a body and believe God together with other people in here who are struggling. Who in here is struggling with something in your life? It might be your spiritual walk. It might be a pain, physical problems. It might be financial things. Raise your hand if you are having struggles in your life. This right here is what I want you to be focused on today. Keep your hands up if that was you. Look around. Look around. Don't just look at me. Look around. Do you see these people? This is your body. And the same way you would care for your arm if it was hurt, I want you to care for these today. So come on up, Judy. Praise God. And we are going to partake of communion together. If those serving communion would come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want you to close your eyes as these elements are being distributed today. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to pray for one another. Consider the needs of one another. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And see that the Lord our God is good. He's so good to us. No, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. For the Lord our God, He is holy. Hallelujah. For the Lord, He's our God. He is holy. Glory to Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Mon krate hanseita min do pravleio holy. For the Lord, He's our God, and He is holy. Imprambe men se tona, men se kalos ta branche famole. We're your family, Lord, in sala. Min on familia la si pocum decete. Hallelujah. Glory. For you're worthy of all our praise. For you are worthy. You're so worthy. You are worthy of all praise. In quem pranse, en todo le me, man becase soce palemo. Men camponenes, bin se calama, yon toro familia se pando se. For the Lord our God, He is holy. For the Lord our God,
holy. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Can you taste Him this morning? Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good.
Oh, Lord, You're so good to us. And Lord, we thank You that the greatest expression of Your goodness was made on the cross. We thank You for Your broken body, for Your shed blood, and that, Lord, You did it not just for us individually, but You did it for us corporately. We thank You that we are a body that is joined together, and we have a supply to impart one to another. And we thank You that through Your broken body, that all of these that were broken before can come together and become one body, one spirit, wholly Yours. We give You praise for it, Father. Father, we thank You for Your broken body and how the Apostle Paul said that when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." The word "take" there means to receive. So receive right now for your body in this place of everything they need. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, we do this in remembrance of You. Paul went on to say, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Let's partake together. Oh, Lord, we thank You. Let's lift our hands to Him one more time. Hallelujah. In fact, I want us to do something a little different right now. I want you to get up from where you're at right now. And if you saw somebody who had their hands raised, I want you to get around your body right now. Let's get joined together right now. Find somebody next to you. Put your arm around them. Let the joint supply to the rest of the body. Come on, let's get up and go around. Let's find somebody. Let's love on them. Let's tell them that we're here to pray for you today, that we love you. You are My body, and I am joined together with you. We are one family in the Lord, and I'm here for you. Oh, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look around right now, and if you see somebody standing by themselves, go over to them, love on them right now in Jesus' name. Show the love of God. Show the love of God. Love on your brother. Love on your sister. Let them know You're here for them. Oh, we praise You. Oh, we glorify You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. And you haven't been forgotten up in the balcony. I'm with you right now, Debbie, Bobby, Emily. In Jesus' name, I speak blessings over you.
Thank You, Jesus. Oh, we love You. Oh, we bless You, Lord. Oh, You're so good to us.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, amen, amen, amen.